Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon text continues our readings from the Gospel according to St. Matthew. We read two more of Jesus' parables in chapter 13, verses 44 to 46. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went out and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dearly loved by God. Where do you store your most treasured possessions? Some people keep personal papers in a fireproof box in the closet. Some people keep their jewelry and other valuables in a safety deposit box in the bank. Pirates used to bury their treasure some place where they would be sure to be able to find it. It is true that sometimes people forget where they put things, or they are sure to put them in a secret place, but wouldn't we agree that they always would put them someplace where those treasures were easily accessible? Another question is, how do you determine which things are your most treasured possessions? That's a decision all of us have to make, especially in case of emergencies. Isn't it true that often in the news you'll see somebody's house, the wildfire is getting closer and closer, and they are told that they must immediately evacuate? If that were you, what would be your most treasured possession that you would grab if that was the only thing you could carry away? You see people on the news carrying family pictures. You might see them carrying family heirlooms. And pretty much always you see them taking their children. We determine what things are the most treasured possessions that we have. Jesus told many parables about the greatest value of the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, or the gospel of Christ's ruling, saving activity through that saving word. All those things essentially mean the same. And he didn't just tell parables about what is truly valuable and how we should approach those things. Jesus told his disciples, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things, what you eat, what you drink, what you wear, they'll all be added to you. Remember Jesus said in another parable, what does a person gain if they have all the treasures of this world and yet lose their soul in hell? There are many places where Jesus talks about treasure and our hearts. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You may be beginning to think, and based on our hymn, that this is a sermon about treasure, about money. It isn't. It's a sermon about Christ. It's a sermon about your Savior and my Savior and how valuable He is to us, and what we need to be and are ready to give up so that we do not lose him, so that we do not leave him behind, so that he is the very first thing we grab in an emergency, even when we are about to lose everything else. But to get back to what I said, that Jesus taught about treasure and the kingdom of God in many parables, and he often put them right together like today, it may seem at first blush as if he said the same thing twice. But he didn't. Each of these parables, the parable of the treasure, of the lost treasure, and the parable of the pearl of great price, have a subtle difference. They are not the same. They are meant as complements. Complements to help us see this and be reminded of this. The gospel is our greatest treasure. It has great value, and it is worth giving up everything to possess it. In Jesus' day, people often buried valuables in a field because that was the safest place and because they were valuable. Now, in Jesus' parable, a man comes upon a treasure that had been buried, hidden in a field. Now, it's not for us to decide how the treasure get there, how come the person who buried it didn't go back for it. None of those things are of interest to us. What interests us is the value of the treasure. And when the man discovered it, he recognized that value of the treasure. And so he left it there. He reburied it, and then he went and bought the field. And by buying the field, of course, then what was buried in it became his possession. Jesus compared that treasure in its great value to the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, or the gospel, to that treasure. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. So for whatever reason, this treasure was available to him. And recognizing its value, he did everything he needed to do to keep it. The parable of the hidden treasure is about the value of the gospel, about the value of the kingdom of God, of God's gracious rule through the word of Christ in our hearts. Do you possess anything more valuable than your Savior Jesus Christ? Do you possess anything more valuable than the rule of Jesus Christ in your hearts and all the blessings that that opens up to you? The Greek word for treasure here is the word we get our English word thesaurus from. A thesaurus is a book that is rich with the meanings of other words. The gospel is the treasure that opens up to us all of the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. Blessings that God gave to Clara this morning in that gospel connected to water in her holy baptism. He opened up for her and poured into her heart the forgiveness of all of her sins. He created new spiritual life in her so that she is no longer dead in her trespasses and sins. And in a miracle, the Holy Spirit created saving faith in her heart, even though she doesn't know it or understand it. That saving faith is there because God says, I put it there and I work it in her heart. I mentioned somewhat kiddingly that when people leave in a hurry that they take their children, because their children are a treasure. Our children and grandchildren are a treasure, of course. It's interesting that God referred to the Old Testament church, His children, as His treasure. And He took care of them. And He kept them. And He guided them. And He saved them. The Bible also speaks that way about the New Testament church, about you and me. We are God's treasure. Not because of who we are, but because of what the gospel is. Because of what the kingdom of God, what the kingdom of heaven that is in us is. It is that saving grace of Christ in our hearts. The kingdom of heaven includes then not only the gospel, but the saving activity of the gospel and the ultimate results of the gospel as it creates the church, the children of God. The kingdom of God then is one thing that you don't want to lose. The kingdom of grace is the one thing you don't want to be without. It's the one thing that you want to have to be able to grab and take with you when you die. Because it's the only thing that you'll be able to take with you when you die. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of grace, your Savior Jesus Christ is a great treasure because it's the only thing you want to have with you when the trumpet sounds and Jesus Christ comes again to judge the living and the dead. Because without that treasure, there is eternal separation from God in hell. But with that treasure, there is the additional blessing of the kingdom of glory as we spend eternity in heaven. In a familiar hymn, we sing God's word is our great heritage. It's what our spiritual forefathers have handed down to us as our great treasure. It shall be ours forever. It's the only thing that will be ours forever. To spread its light from age to age shall be our chief endeavor, because that is the only treasure that the world needs. To have that value of Christ, to have that value of His righteousness that He sacrificed on the cross, that price that He paid by suffering your death and your eternal damnation on the cross before He rose again for your justification. Now, with that parable of the hidden treasure, where Jesus compared the kingdom of heaven to the treasure, He then added the parable of the pearl of great price. And notice that in this case, the kingdom is not compared to the valuable thing, like the pearl or the pearl. But the kingdom of heaven is compared to the merchant who was looking for the pearl. And then when he found it, he sold everything that he had and bought it. So the difference is, in the second parable, the kingdom is not compared to the valuable thing, although the pearl is valuable, but the kingdom of heaven is compared to the merchant who looked and looked and looked until he found that thing of value and then gave up everything to purchase it. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Now, pearls were highly valued in Jesus' day as they are now. It is true that the pearl did have a great value. But the point Jesus is making is that the merchant, when he went looking for it, didn't go with just a cursory glance or two. He wasn't a looky-loo figuring, well, if I come across it, I come across it. If I don't, I don't. In Greek, he was looking and looking and looking until he found it. He didn't give up until he accomplished his purpose. And then, when he did, he gave up. He sold everything else he had so that he would possess it. How often don't people be like those looky-loos when it comes to the kingdom of God? They're searching, they're looking for something spiritual, something religious, something that'll make them feel better. And when they don't find it right away or easily, when they maybe have to keep at it, they give up because they don't recognize the value of what they're looking for. Or there are those people who look and look and look, and then they find it, and they hold on to it, and they value it. But then the Lord asks them, you know, you're going to need to give up your sin. You're going to need to give up your love for your pet sins. You're going to have to give up your desire to live the way the world lives instead of the way I command you to live. You're going to have to give up your wealth, your love for money, maybe even your family, whatever else you may have. And like the rich man who came to Jesus, many figure it's not worth it, and so they leave Jesus. They go away because they have great wealth and are not interested in giving it up to continue to possess Christ. Now, it is true in both parables, there are things that are valuable, and there are those who find them who recognize the value. And we are to be like that. We are that. We know the value of the gospel. We know the value of the word. We know the value of our Savior. And we are willing, aren't we, according to the new man, to give up everything we have in order to possess it. And not only to possess it, but to keep it so that we don't lose it, so that we don't not have it when we need it, or we don't lose interest in it. But again, notice how Jesus, as he so beautifully always does in his parables, makes it very clear and then tells a couple of different parables with just a little bit different emphasis to give us a larger picture and to complete the picture. So for the disciples, one parable was good, two parables was even better, as they brought into focus the point that Jesus was trying to make. There was one other commonality, and I've alluded to it with both of those men, and that is that these experiences of finding these treasures were life-changing experiences. The man who found the hidden treasure was filled with joy at what he had found. And the man, the merchant who found the pearl, suddenly was ready to give up everything he had. Think of Nicodemus. Remember Nicodemus? Who, when Jesus came to him and the Spirit worked faith in his heart, Nicodemus gave back everything he'd stolen and even more. Because now he had Christ. Luther experienced much the same things. When Luther discovered the treasure of the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus' righteousness and not his own, his heart was filled with great joy. It was filled with a joy that he had never experienced in his whole life. A joy that kept him strong throughout all that came in later days. And Luther was ready to give up everything that he had for the sake of the gospel. He even wrote about it Let him take my goods. Let him take my good name. Let him take my wife. Let him take everything. My enemies have really gained nothing because I still have that treasure. I still have that pearl of great price. The kingdom ours remaineth. And for him, that was a life-changing thing as it has been for us. The gospel of Jesus Christ, with its saving activity to bring lost souls into faith like us and like Clara, is our greatest treasure. Possessing it leads us by the power of the Spirit to be willing to give up everything so that we don't lose that kingdom of great price. May God grant us the willingness and the ability to continue to sacrifice all for it so that we don't lose it. Amen.